Greetings, pilgrims. It's Friday the 13th. Amen. I was talking to my friend Jonathan, who runs the car repair place over on 133 today, and he said, I don't believe in that Friday the 13th stuff. He's a true man of faith, if you didn't know. Anyway, it's still Friday the 13th, and this is Pastor Bob, and we are here with episode 5 of The Gift of Gratitude. And we are moving right along. We're glad you're with us. I'm at the broadcasting studios in the Parsonage, the House of Peace, and we have been getting spiritually prepared for this very broadcast. We've brought in a whole gaggle of monks who are singing our favorite chant of the mystics. We have fired up the cinnamon cider candle. So peaceful. And a special tea today. Are you ready? Here's what it sounds like. That, my friends, is a Newman's Own organic tea called turmeric ginger, or turmeric ginger, whichever you prefer. Turmeric, one of those old, crazy, untrustable supplements that I started taking many, many years ago when the medical establishment thought it was Looney Tunes to be doing supplements, and now they have adopted so many of those things that I learned were healthy for you back then that didn't involve a laboratory and mixing together different chemicals to create pharmaceuticals. These are natural supplements. Turmeric, one of the best ones for you. Turmeric ginger tea today. Well, we're coming off yesterday when we heard, right, about Paul's gratitude in lockdown. And today we have a response to that, which I think is just amazing. This is probably my favorite so far. It's from a book called The Spiritual Letters of Dom John Chapman, who was the fourth abbot of Downside Abbey in Great Britain back in the 30s. And this book came out in 1933. Dom John was a spiritual director for people, and this book contains many of his letters to the folks he helped guide along in the spiritual life. And it just so happens he has one of his regular clients that he writes to often, and she has written to him to tell him about her grief and mourning for the loss of one of her fellow sisters, one of her nuns in her convent. And he talks about this characteristic of suffering in a way that I think is very enlightening and even progressive. Maybe things we need to be reminded of or have forgotten. You know, that's the thing with historical spiritual writings. They're not telling us things from the old days that are no longer applicable today. They're reminding us of universal things that we should already know that are completely applicable to our life today. They're universal and eternal teachings, right? As I like to say. So here's what Dom John Chapman writes back to this young lady about losing a loved one and the grief and suffering that go with us. And it's a perfect example of how we become grateful even in the midst of our everyday life, which includes suffering and pain and worry. I'm going to read this kind of deliberately. It's so deep and so good that I'll give us all a chance to grasp it. Here's what he writes. Do not think that the right way to bear a trial, or many trials together, is to love God so much that you can bear the trial with joy, so that it ceases to be a trial. On the contrary, it is obvious that the essence of a suffering of any kind is that we suffer from it. We hate it. We long to be rid of it. Or even we feel life impossible. Or even the goodness of God incredible. So long as it lasts. One, if we can say quite calmly and with the whole of ourself that we are glad of the suffering, then, of course, it has ceased to be a suffering. We have arrived at a sort of superhuman courage and firmness which makes us despise it. And it is of no more importance. This is an excellent human physical perfection. We should aim at it, no doubt. But it would be ridiculous to expect to attain it. In all serious cases, it is impossible. It is desirable. Just as good health is desirable, but not necessarily attainable. Two, besides this human or superhuman and physical contempt of suffering, which we ought to aim at but cannot expect to get, there is a higher and better method. It is to recognize that we are meant to suffer and that it is our nature to resent the suffering and to try to get rid of it, and that this worry and anxiety about it is the chief part of the suffering. Our Lord has taught us this very plainly by His example. In His agony, He did not say, "I suffer and I rejoice. I only want to suffer more." But He prayed that this cup might be taken from Him to show that the feeling of hating suffering and feeling it unbearable is a part of perfection for us, as it is a part of our weakness of nature. We have a right and a duty, when we feel this, to tell God what we feel and to ask Him to remove the pain. But, like our Lord, we must add, "Not my will, but thine be done." Consequently, it is not against perfection that we should feel suffering to be intolerable and tell God it is intolerable. Only we must add with the highest part of our soul that we trust in God and are willing to suffer as long as God chooses, and that we know God will give us the necessary grace in return. Oh, that's so good. So wonderful. Thinking right now we might just repeat that reading again tomorrow so we can hear it a second time as if for the very first time, only with some context and a little bit of understanding from the first reading. So good. And now let us turn to our Mary Oliver for the day. Today's poem is called Going to Walden. Way back when, early in our marriage, Amy and I took a trip up to the northeast part of the United States through Philadelphia and Boston. And one day we went to the Thoreau House and interfaced with the reality of Walden. That's the day I joined the Thoreau Sauntering Society, as we say. Here's what Mary Oliver has to offer to us. Going to Walden. It isn't very far as highways lie. I might be back by nightfall, having seen the rough pines and the stones and the clear water. Friends argue that I might be wiser for it. They do not hear that far-off Yankee whisper. How dull we grow from hurrying here and there. How dull we grow from hurrying here and there. Many have gone, and think me half a fool to miss a day away in the cool country. Maybe. But, in a book I read and cherish, going to Walden is not so easy a thing as a green visit. It is the slow and difficult trick of living and finding it where you are. Going to Walden by Mary Oliver. It isn't very far as highways lie. I might be back by nightfall, having seen the rough pines and the stones and the clear water. Friends argue that I might be wiser for it. They do not hear that far-off Yankee whisper. How dull we grow from hurrying here and there. Many have gone, and think me half a fool to miss a day away in the cool country. Maybe. But in a book I read and cherish, going to Walden is not so easy a thing as a green visit. It is the slow and difficult trick of living and finding it where you are. Amen. Well, what an excellent session today. That's a lot of whole wheat bread to chew on, isn't it? That's the real stuff of spirituality. So, especially today, as I always suggest, maybe listen to today's episode once or twice more today. Maybe go to bed with it and try to soak it in. For these are the words of universal and eternal truth that go deeper and beyond what any normal conversation or narrative could take us. This is spiritual depth and the truth of our spiritual reality in this world. Have a blessed Friday, the 13th, and we'll talk again tomorrow. God bless each and every one of you.